soul to soul, and spirit to spirit. Greetings from the Smoky Mountains. I was having a bit of a contemplation 3, maybe 4 days ago, and I was contemplating contemplating the idea that was put forth on the talk, Unconditional Love. And that idea is that only God can love. God is love, is what the scripture says. And if God is love, can a human being love? Can a human being be loving? Can a human being extend unconditional love? I think we in this class know enough to know that human beings are mental images. And so a human being cannot love. Only God can love. Only God has unconditional love to give. And then the thought came to me, who does God love? The question came to me, who exactly does God love? Does God love humans? Is God delusional? Is God deluded? No, I think we know that God is not, God is too pure to behold iniquity, so God is not suffering from a mental image. So God does not love humans. I know that hurts a little bit because it takes away kind of a cherished belief that we had. We had the belief that God loves humans. Yet we have to be fearless and face some of these things. If God loves humans, then how can all these terrible things happen to humans? Where would God's love be while these things are happening? And so I looked at that question and I turned it around and around and contemplated it some more. And no, I have to let that old idea go. God does not love humans. Well then, who does God love? God is love. His love is. And it came to me that God loves without an object. We have studied for years, some of us, saying that God is omnipresent. God is the only presence. So then who would there be for God to love? And yet the scripture is very plain. God is love. And so it must be that God loves without an object. Or rather than God loving something or someone, God is love. Period. And so it's not that God loves you, or God loves me, or God loves him, or her, or it, or them. It's just that God is love, an ocean of love. God is infinite love. but love without an object. Strange, isn't it? Very different. We have been told that God is nothing like you can imagine. And to have God loving a human sets up a sense of separation, God and a human. And so once again, I was shocked to discover that the old cherished belief that God loves me is a mental image, part of the illusion. God does not love me. God is love. And when I make contact with God, I make contact with that love. When I commune with and am in oneness with God, I am in oneness with infinite love. Love without an object, just love. And as my thoughts turned this over, another idea came to me. I am the life. God is love. God is life. And if God is life, well, what life? Is God a human life? Is there God life and a human life? No, that picture is two-ness. And we are of the spiritual experience of oneness. And so I looked at my human life. And it occurred to me that if there is any person here, any personality, where did that personality come from? And I looked at it, and I remembered some things I had read, written by Sigmund Freud and Carl Jung. And it occurred to me, I remembered that the personality is formed. It's formed from early environment and, well, some say hereditary. And so it's formed. It has a starting place, doesn't it? No one knows exactly when it starts, I don't think, but it starts somewhere in infancy. And so the personality starts somewhere in the early days or weeks that we are here on earth. And then the question came to me, where was I, and now I submit it to you, where were you before the personality was formed? If you can see what I see, if you can feel this, then you must recognize that you were here before the personality. You were alive before the person. You had form, you had intelligence, and you were living before the very start of the personality. You were manifested as life on earth without a personality, without this person. And down through the years, this personality has thought that it had, well, it thought it was a life. And yet, there was a life here before any person was formed, any personality. And now I submit to you, you are that original life. I am the life. That is the life you are. And this person, this personality that had a beginning, will have an ending, because it's not life at all. That is why we have said repeatedly, if you can see it, hear it, taste it, touch it, or smell it, or think it, that is not a life. And so when God says, I am the life, God is referring to that which you are. Now, behind any person, that original life, that God life, is still there. You are that life. Look at that. Feel that. The personality, the person, has a beginning and an end. But the life that was here manifested on earth before the beginning increments of a personality, before the id was started, that life, looking out through eyes, having form, having intelligence, is not a person. That is why if you have ever looked into a newborn, well, a baby that's a couple of days old, how beautiful their eyes look, don't they? Because there's a life there that does not have a personality. There's a life there that does not have a person. No person is home. Only life. Only Christ, only God itself manifested. That is the life that you are right now, behind the personality. And the personality, by now we must know and recognize, is a mental image. God is not that life. And do you know that you can have an accident where you end up in a coma, and you are in a coma for a period of time, come out of that coma, and you no longer have the same personality? It's been documented dozens of times. You may not even recognize your spouse. They feel like a stranger to you. Oh, they tell you they're your husband or wife or partner, but you have no memory of them. And it may not come back. And you may form a completely new personality. Because you are not the person. I am not the person. I am that original life that existed right here on earth before there was a person. And the Buddhists have known this, and they have a very simple and beautiful way of saying this. They say, attain your original face. Now, we do not have to go anywhere to discover that original life, which is the life that I am and you are. All that we have to do is set aside the person, the personality, the mental image. This we do as we enter the silence. When you enter the silence, it's another way of saying you enter your original self. Because you don't have to go anywhere to attain it. You are it. But you do have to become still. Become so still that you step out of the person. So, in my contemplation, in my meditation, I realized I had two realizations. One, God is the life that I am now. And God is love. Therefore, the life that I am now is infinite love manifest. And so now when I look at the statement, I live, yet not I. Christ liveth in me. Now I see it in a different context. Now I see it as I, the person, lives, but not the person. Now that original life lives me. That original life lives you. In fact, that original life is living itself. Now, take this into your closet, into your consciousness, and contemplate this. Really look at it deeply. God is love without an object. God is without a second. And I am the life, the original life, right now, without all these faces, without all these expressions, without all these samsaras, without all these impressions, without all these memories, without all these experiences, without all this intellectual knowledge, without even heredity, I am that life, that original life. Come forth from God. He that descended out of heaven is he that ascends up into heaven. I am that original life. And you are that original life. There is only one life, and that is God life living itself as you. Now let us take that into our meditation and let us learn to trust that original life that knew enough to manifest itself. Let us learn to be still and listen to our original voice, to the voice of God, as it speaks, after all this time that appears to have passed, the original voice is still there. Now let us invite it to speak. God is the life, the original life that I am. And God speaks at a moment I think not. And so now I will be still and listen for the original voice. Speak. I listen. Now, the other principle, God is love. Well, all this nonsense about am I loving enough, or do I love that person more than this one? where I kind of like him or her because they have these traits, but that one over there I don't really like. Does this not make all of that utter nonsense? This is a mental image running around trying to love another mental image. Yes, yes, I know. I am very much aware what exactly this takes away from us. It takes away all of the beliefs, well, the entire human belief system. You cannot practically pick up any magazine or listen to any radio station or watch any television without really being hooked in to that belief system that somehow human beings can love one another. But that's not love now, is it? Now we understand that is something else. All of those love affairs and infatuations and lusting after and being extremely remorseful or full of grief when someone we love walks out of our life or in one way or another passes out of our lives. What is that? Is that love as God loves? God is infinite love. Is infinite love. Right now, infinite love. Always infinite love. Then what is that? That cannot be love. That must be a human being doing something. That must be a human being becoming attached or feeling pain because the attachment is broken. So, I am well aware that it shocks us. But again, I am reminded that here was Jesus Christ walking along the road, and he walked right up to a man. Now, picture yourself. Here you are. Today your father has passed away. Your dad died. You're crying. You have a handkerchief out. You've used up a whole box of Kleenex. You really don't want to hear what anybody has to say. Just leave me alone. I need to deal with this. Would you just let me alone? And here is the most spiritual being that ever walked the earth, walks right up to you and says, follow me. And you say, well, you're trying to be polite. You say, I can't. I can't follow you. My father died today. My dad died. And we're making preparations. We've got to have a funeral. It's the right thing to do. Well, you hope that you've brushed them off. What is his reply? In a human love would say, well, what would you say? What would a human being say? Oh, I'm so sorry to hear about your loss. I will come back later. I'll come back tomorrow. There, you know, I love you. It's okay. Is that not how human love would go? And would we expect anything less? No, of course not. What does this spiritual being, the greatest spiritual being of all time, say? Anything at all remotely human? No. Jesus Christ looks at this person and says, I understand you have a funeral. Now, let the dead bury the dead. You come and follow me. Wow. These are the kind of scriptures that when I read them, they're quite shocking. Truth is shocking, and I have to go into my closet and say, what is the meaning of this? I don't get it. Have you ever noticed? I have noticed that when someone passes away or dies or whatever words you want, that we are close to, it's kind of shocking, isn't it? All these nitpicky little things that we're so concerned with that we call life and living, they just go by the wayside, and we're shocked into a sort of stillness where we consider the more meaningful things of life. Like, why are we really here on earth? That's a big one. And here was a man in the middle of this, considering, why am I really here on earth? And Christ could see this. And the most loving thing that Christ could do was to say, you're here on earth to follow me, the Christ of your being, and I will set you free. So come and follow me. Those other people over there are dead to me. They can't sense me. You are in a unique position where you are partly awake. Isn't that strange? The closer we come to death, the more alive we are. Time slows down. Everything takes on a shimmering life. And the farther away we get from death, the more dead we are. Caught up in life and mental images. Isn't that odd? And so God is love, and love says, awaken, awaken, awaken. Here is the way out, so you don't have to feel grief anymore. When you discover that there is only one presence, my presence, and that no one has ever been born, no one has ever died, then you are free. You will never have grief again. Isn't that one of the promises about the kingdom of heaven? You will never suffer or cry anymore? What did you think that meant? It means you will never drop down into a human sense of love. You will find yourself in the middle of an infinite ocean of love that has a million, billion faces, but is the same life. When you awaken to that life, if it disappears over here, there's 10 million more forms over here. You're not fooled anymore. You know, ah, yes. Yes, you can't fool me. There's just as much of you here now as there was yesterday. And last week, last year, 10 million years ago, 10 million years from now, God is an infinite ocean of love. His love is love. You see? My kingdom isn't of this world, is it? And these two principles that came to me in just a quick little meditation were enough to blow me away. That original life is what I am. That original life is what you are. And God is love, without an object. Just an ocean of love. And love is the only life. Love is the original life. Love is living you. Love is living you. In the stillness, in the quietness, in your contemplation, in your meditation, love is living you. And love is living me. And this is a different kingdom, a new kingdom. This is a temple, a kingdom not made of hands, a temple eternal in the heavens. If this hasn't really knocked your socks off, then you're not listening. Because this is the, well, two keys to the kingdom. And so getting back to the principle of love, since we know that no human being can love, we need to stop trying to love. If anybody has told you that, well, you're not loving enough, well, they're looking at a mental image. And redoubling your efforts to be more loving is not going to work. The answer is to attain your original yourself to go into your meditation, to invite that presence, that original self, that deep inner presence to love. God, pour your love through. Pour your love through. It is enough for the so-called person to just be a witness and to be a beholder of God's love flowing through. And you know, if you do that, sometimes, I have found that we have strange experiences. I had let me just share something with you. I have had the inner nudge to go up and give someone a hug. One time I even had the inner, it was so strong, the push to go take this bald-headed man and kiss him on the forehead. I remember it, just like it was yesterday. And that one I shied away from, and I should have done it, because it was the right impulse, impartation. But the other one, where I was told to go hug this person, which was sort of an unhuggable person by human standards, I followed that one. And so when we are new at walking this way, and we are setting the human aside, the personality aside, and inviting this presence to love, inviting the presence as love, then sometimes it nudges us to do certain things that we're not accustomed to, like smile at a complete stranger, or at someone that's frowning, or strike up a conversation with a stranger on a bus bench, or pick up someone. I remember one time there was an illegal alien, a Mexican man, on the side of the road, and his hood was up, and he was working on his car and didn't look like he was doing too good, judging by the expression on his face. And I felt the inner urge to pull over and offer some help. And I did that. And I don't remember what he needed. He needed a jump or he needed something. I don't remember what. But I gave it to him and he was overjoyed and went on his way. And I don't know where he passed that on. This is God's love. God's love is infinite, is infinite, is infinite. And so when it flows out infinitely. And so I am certain that that man did something for someone else that day, and they did something for someone else, and so on and so forth. So, a human being is incapable of love. Of loving. Because that would be like saying, well, if God is love, a human being can God. You know, a human being can't God. Only God can God. Only God can love. God is love, then only God can love. But in our meditations, we can become still, become receptive, and allow that love to flow. It's flowing all the time, but we can become consciously aware of it flowing. And so we do have some of these strange experiences in the beginning when we are new at the practice of watching it flow, of being a beholder. And so sometimes I'm driving down the road and I have seen a hitchhiker and I have the feeling to pass on by. But once in a while, there's a feeling that I just have to stop. I just have to. It tells me to. It's not very often. Not very often at all. And then there's other things. There's times in the grocery store when I just have this feeling to let that person in front of me. I know you get these feelings too. And as you meditate more and more, you become a witness of God's love working through you. You know it's not a person. You know it. And I don't know how to explain it, but when it begins happening, you will know it. You will kind of be like, wow, why did I just give that person a hug? Or, why did I just send that money to that place? I don't know anybody over there. And yet, God's love is working through you. And you will find that people tell you, oh, you are such a loving person. And yet you will know it's not the person. You will know. You will say to yourself, I don't feel any different. I don't feel any more loving. And yet these things are happening through me. And you will realize that you cannot love, but God can love through you and as you. God can love you. And so these principles, well, they're shocking at first. They eliminate many of our cherished beliefs. But in the end, that man that was going to bury his father awakened from the dream. And once he awakened, he saw that that original life appearing as his father never died. And we, in our turn now, are awakening to that original life, which is love itself. And we are finding that it has no beginning, and it has no end, and it really is eternal life. We are finding that as we know God aright, we know the eternal life that is. The eternal life that always was. The eternal life that is love. And the next assignment that's a part of this that I want to give you and myself is, once you have felt, even if for a split second, that original life behind the person in your meditation, start looking at the people, the animals, the plants, the things around you which are alive, and try to remember that original life about them. Look past the person to that original life, if only for a split second. Acknowledge the original life. That's the word I want. Acknowledge that original life in those you meet throughout your day. Acknowledge that original life in your pets. Acknowledge that original life in the plants, trees. Acknowledge that original life in the earth, in the sky, in the universe. But most of all, do not forget to acknowledge that original life as your life, as all life, as the life that is. We are going to be going away on a retreat this weekend. It's a retreat we make every year. And we are going to see some of the faces that original life is loving through and as. And we are going to have periods of prayer and meditation and walks in the woods. And all of you will be there with me because you are that original life. And I understand now that I am inside of you, and you are inside of me, because there is but one original life, and I am that. God bless you, and thank you for taking the time to download this and listen to it. I had not intended on making any more talks for a while, but this came to me and pushed and pushed and pushed until I had to put it on, I had to record it. Sort of like kissing that bald man on the forehead. I'm not going to be in a position again, if I can help it, where I feel like, oh shoot, I should have done that and didn't do it. And so I was nudged to make this talk, and I have made it. And I hope that you get as much out of it as I am, because I am still working with these principles. They're pretty fresh within me, and I intend on working with them for the next few weeks. And so I do not know at this point if I'm going to make another talk anytime soon. And I just want you all to know that that original life, that original love, is flowing out through me to all of you, for all of you, and as all of you. Thank you.